that most wonderful, you know me, time of the, as far as I'm concerned, day. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, joins us. So without further ado, hey, Arthur, Phil the groundhog did not see his shadow, ergo, spring is in 6 weeks, which it always is from the 2nd anyway, so February.
I can tell by the greens of the dandelions and actually hosta even at the end of January that it's an early spring. Maybe too early. I get scared when it's this early because, as we had a few years ago, a sudden frost after everything started budding out, and it was a disaster. Anyway, I'm still into winter because I have not exhausted all my winter food.
That's all right. You've got time.
I have yet to make, and I actually have a beautiful copper a pot to accommodate it. I have yet to make a good hot chocolate. So I need a nice cold day so I have an excuse to make hot chocolate. Now, I have a history with hot chocolate because many years ago, Bob and I took my mother to Paris. For whatever reason, I don't want to go into it, my father would never go to France. So that was missing from her education. And so we took her to France, and we were in Paris for a nice long time, actually. And my mother was craving, of all things, chicken salad. So we asked one of my Parisian friends, where can we go to get my mother a good chicken salad? And he recommended this famous, famous, turn-of-the-century, beautiful cafe called Angelina. Have you ever been to Angelina?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a real tourist place, but, you know,
but
I think locals go, too. And at Angelina, besides having chicken salad, which, by the way, was not what we think of as chicken salad, it was a bowl of actually dressed greens. I remember a lot of frisée and other lettuce. And then a plate of cold chicken and a bowl of mayonnaise. And you put it together yourself any which way you wanted. But because the big thing at Angelina was hot chocolate. But who knew? I was young and innocent. So we had to have the famous hot chocolate, which in fact is just liquefied chocolate. Now, you can do this yourself. It's easy as anything. But, of course, it's beautiful to have it in an overpriced Parisian cafe. When I say overpriced, you're paying for the atmosphere, which is extraordinary. So what you do is you basically just melt chocolate into milk or a combination of milk and cream or half and half, or if you want to be really fool yourself into that this is something dietetic, you can just have it in milk. And you slowly melt your chocolate. Now, if you melt in milk chocolate, which is usually pretty sweet, you don't have to add any sugar. But I don't usually have meltable milk chocolate in the house, but I do have semi-sweet or dark chocolate, and you can use that just as well, except that now you're going to probably want to add some sugar. And that's it. You can make it as dense and as you like, or as drinkable as you like. The one at Angelina, you eat with a spoon. It's so thick. And if you do make it that thick, I would recommend you serve it in tiny servings, like in out of a demi-tasse espresso cup. Anyway, that's the winter. You know, you have to eat that now, or at least as soon as it gets really cold, which it will again, I hope, but maybe not.
Well,
what's it like?
Not this week, but that's okay.
This week is going to be warm.
That's what
this
I said.
Week,
not this
yeah.
week.
Yeah, this week is supposed to be in the 40s around here. I have to laugh. I watch a local news station, Brooklyn news station. Their motto is "Local News Matters." Anyway, they do the weather, and it's all south of King's Highway or north of King's Highway. I've lived in both places, and I can tell you that south of King's Highway, the weather, influenced by the ocean and Jamaica Bay, the weather is different than it is up here in, on Park Slope. Park Slope actually is the highest point in Brooklyn. So we do have a little different weather than other parts of Brooklyn. Anyway, there are so many winter foods you got to do now before winter is over. And I, while thinking about this, I realized Carnivale, or Mardi Gras, or Shrove Tuesday, whatever you're calling it, the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, which is when Lent begins, is extremely early this year. It is, in fact, on February 13th. Tuesday the 13th is the day we call Mardi Gras Carnivale. Now, it's called Mardi Gras because it's the Tuesday of gras, of fat. So it's Fat Tuesday. And Carnivale refers to meat, carne, meat. It's a meat festival, basically, because starting with Lent, you most people who observe Lent gave up meat and also fat because it was a luxury. And you're supposed to be remembering things. It's not luxuriating. Anyway, Lent brings me to lasagna.
That's good.
Because I have been dying to make a grand lasagna. And I have to say that the Italian-American lasagna, the one made with tiny meatballs or at least a ground beef sauce, ricotta, mozzarella, that lasagna is the lasagna of Carnivale, the Neapolitan Carnivale lasagna. Meaning the lasagna made in the south of Italy, putting in as much forbidden food as you can to eat on the Tuesday before you're not allowed to eat those foods, namely meat and good fat. So a Neapolitan lasagna is a multi-layered affair. But however, and I could easily buy, of course, dried lasagna noodles in the supermarket, but they have not been pleasing me lately. I've gotten too used to a thin pasta to make multi-layers. If you make multi-layers with that heavy pasta you buy, you know, in a box, it's heavy. The whole dish gets heavier. So I discovered recently in my neighborhood there is it's a pasta store. They sell fresh pasta, but it used to be a restaurant called Pasta Louise. Now Pasta Louise has opened a real restaurant, and this former little restaurant where they actually make the pasta is more or less a grocery store. So they won't make me sheets, though. They won't make me pasta sheets, even though they have very good pasta in many other shapes and sizes, because they say it's too hard to pack. And I understood that. They don't want you to get home and be disappointed with their pasta because of the way it traveled, so to speak. So this means I'm going to have to make my own pasta if I want thin pasta sheets to make a good lasagna. But that is the thing that I would make for Carnivale. And if you can buy one, go feast yourself on a good lasagna on Fat Tuesday. That would be the Neapolitan thing to do. The other thing that Italians, North and South, and actually in Catholic cultures all over the world, make some kind of fried dough. Why fried dough? Because you're using a lot of oil to make the fried dough. And you're not supposed to deep fry, you know, during Lent. Too much oil. So you've got to indulge in this before Lent begins, the day before, Fat Tuesday. In the south of Italy, these are mainly called zeppole, but there are so many different names for fried dough, I can't even start. But that is definitely a thing to do. Polish people do it. It's a thing if you're Catholic. What else for the winter? I have to say that now I have rediscovered frozen vegetables. I hate not having a vegetable or two or even three in a day. I laugh at these commercials where they're selling some kind of supplements, telling you you'll never get enough vitamin this, that, and the other by eating the way you do. Well, most people, it's true, but we eat a ton of vegetables. And sometimes the cupboard is bare or almost bare. So I now am keeping a few things in the freezer. Somebody asked me recently, why don't you have canned vegetables? Well, I grew up eating, here's one that I find actually repulsive now, canned asparagus. Don't taste like asparagus to me. I guess I can deal with a canned pea. My mother used to buy those, what are they, petit pois, green giant. I forget what they call the baby peas. But the one thing that she did with them that I still would do if I could bring myself to buy a can of peas is toss them in a salad. They're very good right out of the can in a salad. Nowadays, I think people are cautious and they want to heat up the peas before they eat them. You know, botulism was a scare not that long ago, and it's from not acid foods, canned not acid foods. Peas are certainly in that category. Mushrooms, we've heard of people getting botulism from canned mushrooms if they didn't heat through first. So, I don't know, heat through them and then let them cool down, and you'll be okay. But I really, I think I've mentioned, I know I've mentioned more than once, that I'm able to buy a very good a brand of frozen artichoke hearts. And then there's, of course, frozen peas. Even Italians, in the middle of June, are eating frozen peas because they're way more dependable than the ones in your garden. Unless you have a garden and you grow your own peas and you know exactly when to harvest them and you cook them right away, there's nothing like a good frozen pea. Spinach, I have to say, for many, many years, I was eating frozen spinach in every which way you can eat spinach. But now I sort of like cleaning spinach. It's sort of one of those meditative jobs by the sink. And I do a 3-times wash with my spinach, and then I put the spinach still with its drippy, you know, right out of the water, so it still has water. You put it in an open large pan, open, not closed, and put it over high heat, and the spinach will wilt in no time and give off even more water. And as soon as it's all wilted, you can turn off the heat and then do something else with the spinach. My favorite thing to do would be to drain it and then put it in a skillet with olive oil and garlic and hot pepper. But you can make cream spinach with that. You don't have to cook spinach very long. And then certainly if you're going to do anything with it after that, all you really need to do is wilt it. Anyway, then there's soup. Certainly this is the time of year when, I don't know, I don't really love cold soups. Sometimes I eat a cold soup. I love fruit soup. Go to Brighton Beach and sit on the boardwalk and have Ukrainian fruit soup. That's good. But winter is a soup time, and I have to say that even though I make big pots of vegetable soup, lentil soup, I love bean soups. We eat a lot of beans and greens and beans and pasta. But I like plain old chicken soup myself. So I always have some chicken broth in the freezer, and on a really cold day, we're likely to have something based on my chicken broth. Could be avgolemino. I'm really fond of avgolemino. A healthy soup because you're adding a lot of citric acid in the form of lemon, vitamin C, so it's a good winter thing, too.
What do you do about the egg?
What I do. I make it with either orzo or rice. Orzo is meant to look like barley, but it's a kind of pasta. Don't use real barley. So you put in, I don't know, for a quart of chicken broth, I would put in no more than a quarter of a cup of rice or a quarter of a cup of orzo and boil it in the broth. It gives off some starch to start, both of them. So you cook the rice till tender, takes about 15 minutes, or the orzo till tender, takes 12 or 15 minutes. And then, separate, you beat up, for a quart of soup, I would beat up 2 eggs and the juice of a lemon. You can always adjust the lemon after. And turn off the heat underneath the rice or orzo in the broth. Take some of the hot broth and put it into the egg and lemon to temper the egg so it doesn't scramble. And then pour that back into the main pot.
Okay.
And sometimes it's all hot enough to just thicken up the egg yolk right away. Or you can put it back on a low heat and stir for just 2 or 3 minutes. And it'll thicken up, thicken and flavor the soup. Retaste it. Make sure there's enough lemon, salt, pepper. It's very good.
Right.
Now, the Italian with my broth would be stracciatella, which is also with an egg. But in this case, you beat the egg with some grated cheese. I like Parmigiano. If you're a pecorino person, beat it with the pecorino, an egg. And then you drop it into the simmering soup. Like an egg drop soup,
right.
Which is really sort of what it is. Or, I mean, that's one way to do it. Another way to do it, I learned from my friend Sylvia in Salerno, is to actually beat it in. And not just drizzle it in, but beat it in. And that's a different texture, but the same deliciousness. Now, I made myself hungry, as usual. Of all the things I've talked about, the one that I'm going to be able to have right after I get off the air will be some hot chocolate, which I've been thinking about since I woke up this morning. That's what started this all.
Totally, egg drop soup made me think of hot and sour soup, which, you know.
You know, I have a restaurant literally down the street that makes great hot and sour.
And what if you
and
don't?
And there's so many ingredients in a good hot and sour that I don't want to keep in the house. I'd just as soon eat it at the restaurant or order it in.
Yeah,
really,
sure.
I love a good hot and sour, too.
I like the hit of the, forgetting everything that's in it, I like the, if it's done right, I like the hot and sour. I like the beefy porky and then the vinegar. But that's, I have.
I do, too, yeah. Well, I've never attempted it. I mean, I do. There is a recipe for hot and sour soup with all those many ingredients in Soup Suppers, because you can make a main. Soup Suppers is a book full of recipes for main course soups, meaning a bowl of soup that you could call dinner. Avogalemino sort of doesn't count; it's too thin. I'm not sure there is a recipe for that there. Anyway. I'm sure I have avogalemino somewhere
just
because I cook it all the time. So I love the taste of the good chicken broth and lemon juice. Mm. Anyway, so not the hot and sour though. I have to take a look at this.
No, let's forget the hot and sour. We'll go back to.
But listen, what I do love is not hot and sour, but sweet and sour. I make my grandmother's version of, we always used to call it cabbage borscht, meaning a cabbage, sweet and sour cabbage soup made with flanken, which is short ribs, cut the other way. So it had a meaty flavor. You know, in my grandmother's day, and I have to say, if you're not a rich person, you don't use broth. You don't, the French use broth. Italians do, except up north, they have more money, don't use broth. You might put meat in the dish to give it flavor, like you might put, a couple of pork ribs in your tomatoes, and that would give it wonderful flavor and fat. But you don't start out with broth, even for soups. Water is usually sufficient, and there's enough stuff in there that you don't really need broth. That said, I make a very, very, I have to say, a very good northern-style minestrone, and I do make it totally vegetarian with water sometimes. And I put maybe, if I have some Parmesan rinds, which I usually do, I throw some of those in there for flavor. But it is, for most people, it's better made with broth. But my grandmother would make her soups by putting in either pieces of chicken or pieces of beef, depending on the soup, and that would give it the meat flavor. And then, of course, you had a piece of meat to eat afterwards. I know my mother always and my sister always liked the sweet and sour meat, almost more than the soup itself. I like soup, so I was happy with just the cabbage. Anyway.
All right.
So there we are. It's winter, but it's not winter. It's scary how things are coming up already here. You're always at least 2 weeks behind. But in 2 weeks, the middle of February, you're going to start seeing the bulbs come up. We don't have the snow.
But I'm just trying to think. I think, is Easter this year? It must be early. But
it's 40 days after next Tuesday.
Wednesday.
March.
So I can't. Okay, 40 days, so 40, 30,
well, a
13,
month
17.
After.
So it's pretty much at the end of March, I guess.
March, yeah. You know, we always use the joke about Jewish holidays has been, they're either early or late, but they're never on time.
They're either early or late, never on time. The reason
right.
that, yeah, so Easter
that's
is the 31st.
That's because it's the lunar calendar.
Okay, I can't remember the
doesn't
last.
It doesn't jive with our calendar.
What?
I said it doesn't jibe with our calendar.
No, but.
And of course, Easter is one of those, unlike Christmas, which is always on December 25th, Easter is based on a lunar calendar, isn't it? For some reason.
This becomes my department with the different calendars, and I'm not going to take the poor listeners into that right now. How many different calendars there are? So Purim starts at sundown on the 23rd.
Purim is March 23rd.
Yep.
That's on, so my birthday is on Purim.
Your birthday is Palm Sunday.
No, my birthday is the 24th. So the 23rd. Pardon
me? It happens to be a Sunday, and it happens to be Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, huh? See, it's all crazy this year.
Like I said,
this is a leap year as well.
And then you've got there's a lunar eclipse on the 25th, the day after your birthday, but very early in the morning, Eastern.
Wow. So, what does that mean?
So it's going to be, I think you're going to have to compress your winter spring.
Yeah, winter's, I don't know. I keep thinking it's almost over.
Said Jill, the spokesman for Phil, the groundhog. Spokesperson.
Which one?
Spokeswoman.
They're now competing groundhogs, although they apparently all said the same thing this year.
Because it was cloudy. But again, this is also like, what is the color of George Washington's white horse? Because
right.
it,
I don't know. I think it's cute, the groundhog thing, but who puts any weight on it, you know? No one.
Well,
maybe there's a farmer. I don't know.
The point is that we used to look at the
farmer's almanac for this. I don't know if that's valid anymore.
What?
The farmer's almanac.
Elements of it. Elements of everything are valid.
Well, I guess
it's
so.
Just the other elements. You know, you get I've always, as you know, been a picker, so I just pick stuff out of the stew. Like, yeah, that's right. Not so much, but it's stew.
It's stew.
All
right, so I don't have to wish everybody an easy Lent yet.
No, not yet.
But only 1 week away. The one thing I forgot is, now I haven't done my homework on this, but you can order by mail. If you want to celebrate Fat Tuesday, a Mardi Gras King's cake.
Right.
And look it up online. I mean, I like it because it's so kitschy. But it's this like Danish-type ring of pastry with sugar icing in the Mardi Gras colors, which I was laughing. James Carville was saying how great the Mardi Gras colors were the other day.
And listen, what we haven't covered, of course. Isn't it Valentine's Day? How romantic.
Oh, I tried to ignore.
No, no, no.
I was trying to ignore it.
Ignore
it. Go eat a strawberry with chocolate, okay?
If one is a giver-upper for Lent, you're going to have to do your Valentine's Day celebrating a day early.
Well, it depends on what you do for Valentine's Day. And it depends on what you're giving up for Lent.
It depends on whether you give anything up for Lent.
or any, for that matter, right. I mean, I know there are people who give things.
But
they give up things that I think it's cheating, because they give up things that they don't do anyway.
I'm going to say on that one, don't get me started, okay? And I'm also going to say it is always a pleasure. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
I'll get to talk again before Lent.
Right.
Talk to you soon.